Well, joining me now are cast and director and producer of Soul Theater's Holiday Play, A Christmas Story. Kai Holcomb joins us. Hi, Kai.
Hi.
Hi.
And Kate Kelleher is here, too. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Danny Grace Kopf, the director of the show, is here. Hi,
Guilty
Danny.
Guilty as charged.
And Jennifer Johnson is here, the prop master and producer.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having us back.
So good to have you back. Boy, you're tackling a very well-known play this time around.
Absolutely. It's actually my favorite holiday movie, so.
What makes it that?
It's just a classic.
Isn't it?
And there are just so many great one-liners, and it's just that nostalgic, awesome, wholesome love fest of a movie that I was so excited to get to do. I'm so glad Jennifer gave me the chance to direct this one.
It's become iconic. I wonder if that might be because they run it for 24 hours straight every Christmas Eve.
I think so. I think they started that about 5-10 years ago, something like
that.
Yeah, there's so many great scenes in that. And we'll talk about some of those coming up. Now, is this the musical version? No, it's adapted for the stage.
Yeah, we're actually basically doing the movie script. We got a couple other scripts. We listened to the musical version, and we just kind of felt like we did with Elf last year, that people coming to see this are going to want to see the iconic scenes. They're not going to want to see something new and different. So we're staying pretty true to the movie.
So the musical strayed pretty far from the story?
From what we could tell, it just added things that we didn't really feel were necessary.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, one of the things that I love so much about A Christmas Story is the simplicity of the story and the simplicity of the time period it happened during. And when you bring it to Broadway, when you make it a big musical, it makes it a much more showier piece. And so we like the nostalgic, iconic hominess of the original show, and it just loses something in translation when you like throw in musical numbers. And I love musicals, but I also like to really honor what people are familiar with. So,
well, you talked about props earlier, Jennifer, and of course there's a very famous prop in this one, the leg lamp. Do you actually have a leg lamp?
We actually have a leg lamp. I have to give a shout out to Nikki Cannon, who loaned us her leg lamp. They had one at their that I've driven by on my way to the Third Street Center. I drive by it every Christmas, and so I knew this family had one. So I called her, and I'm like, we kind of need one. And she said, can I be in the program? Absolutely. There's going to be a thank you in the program.
Nice. Now, is it a tall one or a short one?
Oh, yeah.
It's as tall as it's a full size, like the movie.
It is very true to what you would expect. It's about 4 feet tall, in pristine condition. I mean, it is everything that anybody would want to look at.
Now, but you're not going to break it like it broke in the movie.
No, we have a stunt leg lamp for that, which is actually oddly made out of an arm.
Yes,
that's from a mannequin.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what blackouts are for.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Switch.
Dirty little secrets of A Christmas Story. Wow, how about that? Well, there's another iconic scene, and that is the tongue getting stuck on the flagpole. How do you do that in a warm theater?
With a really great young actress named Emma Charters, who is playing Flick. And our tech director has fashioned a pole, and she's been rehearsing with, you know, trying to just stay stuck. So we're not actually going to freeze her tongue to the pole.
No. No, not a method moment.
No.
Not a method. Acting. That's what
it is. Wow. So I'm wondering, you know, I it's funny because I was researching it earlier today, and I actually went like this, put my tongue on my water bottle, and then thought the talk. And I just wonder how you teach an actor how to talk without their tongue.
You know, Emma just is one of those actors that goes for every moment. And so she has been game for this since auditions, and just she's willing to try different things to see what works. And she's just a champ about it.
Huh.
She's great.
Did you watch the movie with the cast?
Not yet.
Are you going to?
I've thought about it. I don't know if we have time before we open, but I have thought about it. I've watched it a lot.
Sure. Well, I can tell just from your eye that there's some method to that madness. Do you want to keep them fresh without being polluted by the movie? What's your thinking?
Well, I'd say about 90% of the cast has seen it. And when we were getting ready for auditions, we actually encouraged them to watch it. We said, you know, I don't normally do that with plays, especially ones that are based off of movies. I don't usually say, yeah, go and watch this. Uh-huh. But with this one, because we want to stay so true to the original, mm-hmm. I had no problem with saying, yeah, go and watch it. It's fine. But then they are all bringing their own twist to it, too. They're not trying to imitate. They're not trying to copy. They're all doing their own take on these roles, and it's really great.
Huh. And, of course, there's the pink bunny suit. Does somebody actually get to wear a pink bunny suit on the stage?
Yeah.
Is that you, Kate? No, you're the mother, aren't you?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's Ralphie who gets to wear that. And our costume designer, Jenny Boltman, is just incredible. She has put together a really incredible 40s style costume design for this one, including the pink bunny suit.
Well, in the movie, Kate, the mother makes Ralphie wear that pink bunny suit and just gushes all over him. Is that what happens with you, too? You make Ralphie wear that bunny suit?
Yes, I do.
That's mean. So, Kate, you are the mother. She had a lot to do in that play, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and the father, too. But tell me about your character and what it is that you're doing on the stage.
Well, I get to, like, judge Ralphie and, like, make him do things. And it's pretty fun because I got this huge part. And I just, like, stepped up. And it's kind of, like, scary, but I'm trying my best to do.
Uh-huh. So is it hard to learn all those lines?
Kind of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Have you got them memorized already?
Some of it. I have a little trouble in one scene, but everything else is pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Well, you have a week left to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be the hardest part. Is it the hardest part, learning all those lines?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the mother, as I recall, now you said it was, I know that the movie came out in 1983, but it was set in like the 40s or the
1940, 50s. 1940, December of 1940, which ironically is also the exact time period that our last show was set, Musical Comedy Murders of 1940. It's set in the exact same time. So we didn't really realize that until the end of that show. We thought, oh, wow, we're doing two shows in the exact same time period, the same month of the same year.
I think Ginny pointed that out to us, actually, our costume designer, because she was all excited about it because it was the same time frame in terms of pulling costumes and finding pieces. But it was totally, that was not at all planned. Mm-mm. That was just a coincidence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just different areas of the country. That one was upstate New York. This one is in Homan, Indiana. So very Midwest.
Yeah, very Midwest. But, you know, that's what makes it endearing. Right? Yep. Does it seem like an endearing play to you, Kate?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Not so much?
Not so much.
Well, 40s was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, do you think that you could have been a mother in the 1940s?
No.
No? You like it now, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you like about your character?
Well, she's just pretty cool and I just seen The Christmas Story a lot, and when I went to Seoul to do my audition, I really wanted the part of the mother, and so I got it, and it's like, it's very challenging, but it's really fun.
What makes it challenging?
Well, there's a lot of lines. She's just really awesome, and she's, I just love the part.
Is she a lot like you?
No, I don't know. No, not really.
Because that can be challenging. When you're playing someone who's not a lot like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the father? Or actually, he's not the father. He's the old man.
The old man.
Right?
Yeah. And we do actually know his name. It's Frank Parker. We never get to know the mother's name. But
now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Something Freudian going on there.
And it's, yeah, he is referred to as the old man throughout the whole show. That's what he is in the script and everything.
And I discovered that in the original movie, Jack Nicholson wanted to play that role.
I just read that the other day, too.
And but he asked too much money, so Darren McGavin. And, you know, I can't imagine that movie without Darren McGavin.
Or with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been a horror movie. It would have been a lot more like The Shining.
Yeah. Who plays the father, Kate?
Xander.
Xander Yates.
Oh, okay. So do you have a real chemistry with him?
Yeah, he goes to the same school as me.
But in the movie, the mother and the father are often at loggerheads, aren't they? I mean, it's like the old man will do something and the mother will just sort of roll her head. Like the mother didn't want the table lamp. I mean, the leg lamp, right?
No, not at all.
She hated the leg lamp, didn't she?
Yeah.
So you get to tell that guy, no leg lamp in this living room.
Yeah.
You do?
Well, I kind of like purposely make it like, get destroyed and everything.
Oh, so you have decided that you did it on purpose. I let them decide whether it was going to be an on-purpose knockover or whether it truly was an accident. Uh-huh. So that's fun to figure out. But yeah, she's doing a great job at the embarrassment, and there are lines in there that the narrator says about the epic battle or the epic struggle for the leg lamp, and you know, the father wants to leave it on when they leave the house, and she goes over to turn it off to save electricity.
And she
and Xander are doing a really great job playing off each other, and even as young as they are, the sarcasm is on point.
Wow. You know, I'll bet, wow, I can just imagine somebody that, you know, isn't normally sarcastic, like a kid, being good at it because they're so fresh. It's so new.
Well, Kate's pretty sarcastic sometimes.
Really? Really?
Yeah, she's a Kelleher.
She doesn't.
The sass was there already.
Well, one of the other iconic scenes in the movie is, well, first of all, we should say that the old man has a running feud with the dogs next door, right? And in the movie, those dogs break in and eat the Christmas turkey, don't they, Kai?
Yep.
And you're one of the dogs, aren't you?
Yep.
Huh. That must be fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Do you get to, now when you play a dog, do you get down on all fours or do you do it, how do you do that?
Well, when I'm sitting, I get down on, like, I'm still standing, but I'm on my toes, squatting down. And then when I go up and bark on him, I'm standing up.
Oh, okay. So how many dogs are there?
Four
dogs. Wow. And you actually eat a turkey. Well.
Yeah.
You pretend.
You
may
get to rough one apart.
Nice. Now, the dog is not the only thing that you play in this, is it? Tell me about your other characters.
Well, I'm this guy named Billy. He sits on Santa's lap and pees. And the Santa scene. And there's this other guy. I'm a bandit, and I'm a policeman.
Wow.
And you have another role. I had forgotten about Billy. You get to help with the tree salesman.
Oh, yeah. I'm a tree salesman assistant.
Wow. That's a pretty wide range of actorly endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to imagine you peeing on somebody's lap.
That's acting.
That's acting.
Well, Kai's another one of these actors who just jumps in. There's never been a time in any one of these rehearsals that I've had to say, Kai, come on, more, try more. He gets up there and instantly he's a dog or he's committed to the character and he's always in character, whatever he's doing. And it's really fun as a director to see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in any actor, that would be fun to see. Mm-hmm. Are you having fun with this, Kai?
Yeah, a lot.
Is this the first time you've done it?
No, it's my second.
Second? What was your first one?
The Jungle Book.
Ooh, who did you play in The Jungle Book?
I was a monkey and an elephant.
Mm-hmm. And jungle creature in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you like about being on stage and performing?
I don't know. I like it.
What do you like about it?
I don't know. I just like being on stage.
Cool.
Is it fun to be silly?
Yeah.
It's sort of fun to pretend to be somebody other than who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll bet that's sort of empowering, too.
Yep.
Huh. What about you, Kate? What do you like about being an actor?
Same as Kai, just being up on stage. Just Seoul is a place where I can, like, kind of just relax and just have fun and, like, don't worry about who I am. Just having fun and all of that. And, yeah.
That's a great answer. I love that.
Huh. We feel the same way.
Yeah, I know you do. I've had you in many times, and every time I've come away impressed with, you know, the kids that are involved and their attitudes about what they're doing and everything. It's just, it's great. It's a great thing you do over there.
Thanks.
I forget how it ends, and I couldn't find a clip. I don't know if that's a spoiler. Maybe we shouldn't talk about how it ends. What do you think?
Well, it ends, I mean, there's no big, giant, you know, closing number or anything, but they end up having to go out for Christmas dinner because of what happens to the turkey. And so they end up in a restaurant, and that's
okay.
The
now
scene.
I did see a clip of that. Yeah. What happened in the restaurant? So you get to actually do that on stage.
We're not doing the full. It's not really a Chinese restaurant, but we are having a Chinese duck that may or may not get its head cut off. And Kate's doing a really beautiful job in that scene because all she has to do is really laugh and kind of be appalled at the fact that they're eating orange duck for Christmas instead of turkey.
Yeah.
But it ends on a really high note. They all are just laughing and giddy, and it's really cute.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. So let's see. It starts a week from...
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We're actually doing two school matinees on Thursday and Friday of next week, the 14th and 15th. And then... opening night is Friday night the 15th, and we have performances that night at 7, Saturday the 16th at 7, and Sunday the 17th at 2 p.m.
Where?
At the 3rd Street Center.
3rd Street Center. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the gym.
In the gym.
All right. Great. Well, I know that you guys pack them in just about every production.
Yeah, we've actually already started selling a lot of tickets to this one, lots of pre-sales for this one, so... I would recommend getting tickets early.
Okay.
We have sold out of our Christmas performances before and have had to turn people away. So we recommend getting tickets early, and you can do that at soultheatercompany.org/tickets. And if you want to take your chances and get them at the door, you can maybe do that too.
Maybe.
What do you think accounts for the pre-sales? Just the show. Just
people are getting more and more used to the fact that they can buy the tickets online.
Oh, okay.
It's just been something we've offered in the last. Well, actually, I think it's about 3 years now. But the more we advertise it, it's just easier to do just go online and make sure that you have seats available and make sure that you get in. So we went from it used to be about 10% of our ticket sales were online to over 50% of our ticket sales are online now. So. And it's growing with every show.
Huh.
So we really encourage people to do that. And then we just have you check in at will call. Takes less time at the door. You get to get in and get your seat faster. You don't have to carry cash. So.
Although we take credit cards at the door now, too.
We do.
Wow. Credit. Upgrades.
How
many people can fit in there for a show?
About 200.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Well, you sort of have a built-in audience between parents and grandparents.
We do.
Pretty much.
We do.
Yeah.
And that I think that's been the other kind of amazing thing over the course of just the last couple of years is word of mouth has been that the shows are entertaining even if you don't have a kid involved in the show. So we have a lot of audience members that are coming to see shows just because they've heard they're entertaining for adults as well as kids.
Yeah.
And that's something we really pride ourselves on is that the shows are just charming and funny and thoughtful and all around entertaining.
Well, Christmas Story is uber entertaining.
It really is.
I imagine you guys are going to have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah. We already are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Well, Kai Holcomb, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
and Kate Kelleher.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you came in. Danny Grace Kopp.
Thank you so much for having us back.
You bet. And Jennifer Johnson.
Thank you, Luke.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.